The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. During the 8 years when I was serving as a pastor in Jerusalem, I kept a sort of diary on my blog and also on various social media platforms. And I called them the Jerusalem Lady Pastor Chronicles. Facebook reminded me that this is what I wrote on April 6, 2018, when, just like today, there was a war happening in Gaza. And Easter had just happened. And Passover was ending, and the two peoples and three faiths in the city I was calling home were struggling, as always, to coexist. Jerusalem Lady Pastor Chronicles, 6th of April. Yesterday, the train stopped running, and I didn't notice. As in, I sat for at least 15 minutes in late afternoon at the train station by myself and didn't notice that there were no trains. I didn't notice for the 12 minutes that I sat there alone, and I didn't notice when a stranger walked up and asked for help buying a ticket. Why didn't the machine work? That was weird. I didn't notice when the elderly man approached me and spoke to me in Hebrew, and then, seeing that I didn't understand, again in English and in Arabic, "Finish," he said. "Halas, no train go now." And I stared at him, not comprehending until I thought, "Oh my." I looked up and saw the electronic message scrolling above the station, and I thought, of course the train's not running. It's the last night of Passover. This is a Shabbat. But to be fair, I hadn't noticed because it had been a heck of a day, even by Jerusalem standards. I was feeling alone and disappointed in general about humans, and frustrated with the church, and I was putting all my trust in the almighty magic of public transportation to get me home. I picked up my 8 bags of groceries, which was far too much, even if the train had been running. I thanked the stranger for the information, and I started walking home by foot. I passed the car rental yard. I passed the settlement hotel. I was approaching another empty train station and was starting to doubt my ability to make it up the hill ahead of me when a taxi honked and pulled over to the curb. "When Raiha, where are you going?" the driver said. Well, I stepped into the car gratefully, put my groceries on my lap, and I saw that the taxi driver was observing my black dress, black tights, white clergy collar, and large cross. I said, "Take me to the ugly white statue." He laughed at me and started driving. Everyone knew where the ugly white statue was that stood in front of my neighborhood. It looks like giant empty toilet paper tubes, really. Someone told me it used to be painted red, which I think would have made it even worse. We had the same conversation in the car that I'd had countless times. "So you're a tourist. How long have you been here? How can you be a priest? Why do you speak Arabic? Do you live in a Palestinian neighborhood? And most importantly, how much do you pay for rent?" Sounds a bit like Cambridge, doesn't it? By the time we reached the ugly white statue, my hope in humanity was being restored, or at least rekindled, because I thought, okay, maybe we aren't all terrible, and maybe very different people can be friends, maybe peace is possible, and maybe this day will be over soon, inshallah, God willing. And then, against my request, Muhammad pulled over near the statue, put on his hazard lights, came around to my side of the car, opened the door, and grabbed my grocery bags. And then he grasped my arm and proceeded to stop six lanes of traffic to ferry me by foot safely across the road to my driveway. "It's okay," he kept saying. "It's okay. I'm with you. It's okay." What words of hope and comfort, much needed and much appreciated on that day. "It's okay, I'm with you." When the disciples were gathered in the upper room after the resurrection, they were feeling alone and afraid as well. As it was written, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Although we're hearing this story a week after Easter, this part of the story takes place on the evening of the same day that Jesus was raised, the same day that either one woman or three women, or maybe some disciples saw Jesus or didn't see him, depending on who's telling the story. The disciples, we know, were afraid and confused and sad. And into that fearful, sad, confused space came the risen Christ, although the doors to the room and perhaps the doors to their hearts were locked out of fear of others. Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. "It's okay. I'm with you." 2,000 years later, my Muslim taxi driver walked me across six lanes of traffic and said the same thing. "It's okay. I am with you." Now, last week on Easter Sunday morning, I suggested in my sermon that we are all called to watch the doors, to be on the lookout for what's happening in the world in light of the resurrection news. Where are we seeing the risen Christ today? It might not be where you expect or through whom you expect to see him. On that day in Jerusalem, when I was so filled with dread because of war and frustration with humans and annoyance that the train didn't run, I just wanted to go home. As our friend, the Reverend K.C. Kohler, often says, I had on my grumpy pantaloons. And along came Muhammad, who said, "It's okay," and brought me safely home. The risen Christ was present for me through the kindness of a new Muslim friend, thanks be to God. Now, I'm not sure how you all are doing this week, but you might be thinking of wars and rumors of wars. Today is the six-month anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel and the beginning of the war in Gaza. You might be worried about exams or grading exams, or about graduation and what comes after that, or about an upcoming marriage, or about retirement, or you might just be struggling on this day to put one step in front of the other one foot in front of the other, you might be feeling alone. If so, know that you are not alone. First of all, the people of this congregation are with you. One of the things I've seen and have come to believe about UniLu is that folks here show up when others are in need, whether longtime friends or new friends or strangers. Secondly, you're not alone because the Alleluias we shouted on Easter morning were not just for show. They were and are a profound proclamation of what we believe as Christians. We believe that the crucified and risen Christ is not only undead, he's alive. He's not a zombie or a ghost. Christ is alive. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ is raised in both body and in spirit, which is why Thomas, who needed to know this in his own body, was able to touch Jesus' hand and side and come to believe. Jesus was in that room with the disciples, not only on the first day, but a week later when Thomas was there. My Lord and my God, Thomas was able to respond. Friends, Christ is not only risen one Sunday a year, but a week later, a month later, a year later, a millennium later, and more. Jesus is raised, and we are not alone in any of this. So again, watch the door. Even if the door is locked, watch the door. Watch and pray, because one day, someone may just open the door to your taxi and grab your grocery bags and walk you across six lanes of traffic, or through your divorce, or down the stairs with those heavy boxes that needed to be moved, or into the last day of the life of a loved one, or into your next adventure. And they'll say, "It's okay, I am with you. Peace be with you. Be not afraid, the Lord is near. Watch and pray, see and believe." And on the days when it feels no one is at the door, when no one is showing up, when the world seems like an irreconcilable mess, keep watching and praying and rejoicing anyway. And remember that Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." Today we'll close with a prayer from our brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose feast day is this coming Tuesday, April 9th. He wrote this in 1943 from prison. Let us pray. God, I cry to you in the early morning. Help me to pray and to gather my thoughts. I cannot do it alone. It is dark inside me, but you do not leave me. I am timid, but with you is my help. I am anxious, but with you is peace. There is bitterness inside me, but with you is patience. I do not understand your ways, but you know the right way for me. Lord Jesus Christ, you were poor and miserable, caught and abandoned like me. You know all the sorrow of humanity. You stay with me when nobody stays with me. You don't forget me, and you search for me. You want me to recognize you and turn to you. Lord, I hear your call and follow. Amen.